Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. Having a great time here in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. It's, you know, I'm getting around to figuring out what I'm doing here. It's pretty exciting.
Brian, it's like riding a bike, man. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We'll get there.
We're getting back there.
Right now, I can tell you that we are broadcasting on the southern swath of Wisconsin. Right now in the Solidarity Realty Studios, I'm broadcasting WTTN, 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio, out in the Waukesha area. I like to put an L on the end of things just to go and generalize the area. The Waukesha area has 540 AM, that's WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. And I am not there. I'm an absentee landlord today. Right now I'm very pleased to announce that we already are joined by, you just haven't heard him yet. It's Matthew Rothschild. How are you doing, buddy? The vigilante of good governance. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Brian. Thanks for having me on. It's nice to be with you and Luke.
Of course, man. Luke's been absent for a week, and I've been, let's say, absent-minded. Let's catch everybody up before we go and dive into the next hearings. What are we looking at here going into tomorrow? And let's highlight some Wisconsin ties.
Yeah, what did I miss last week, Matt? Because I've seen some of the top-line stuff, but it seems like there was a lot in the hearings last week.
Well, it was pretty. It was a pretty damning case that the January 6th committee has been steadily building here. I think the big gaspy moment from last week was that John Eastman asked for a pardon like 3 days after January 6th, after he was telling Trump to keep going forward and keep peddling all the big lie conspiracy and come up with some cockamamie legal theory to justify the coup. And oops, I guess I better get a coup if they're still available, he said to Giuliani, who I guess was shepherding the coup request. But
the
anyway,
request, right?
It's just the amount of criminality, the amount of evidence of criminality is so gigantic that Merrick Garland Day better be coming sometime soon.
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of the weird part to me as well, that Eastman kind of suggested that there was a whole list of other people that thought they needed to be pardoned as well, because they all just agreed that it was a crime, and then even after they knew it was a crime, they went forward with committing the crime.
Yeah, I mean, when Eastman said he was going to lose at the Supreme Court first 7-2 and then 9-0, that means he knew he was doing something illegal. And if you're anybody, but especially if you're a lawyer and you know that you're doing something illegal, you're in a world of hurt here. And that's why the other Trump lawyer who said you better get yourself the best effing defense lawyer you can buy was probably pretty good advice. And I did see that he did have a defense lawyer sitting right next to him when he was taking the Fifth Amendment 100 times.
Yeah, he looked at the attorney that was representing him several times before saying, yes, I'm pleading the Fifth.
And then he just said Fifth. I didn't know that's what you could do, too. Why didn't he just put up his hand and give a number 5?
He shortened it down to just say Fifth over and over and over again from the clip that I saw catching up. And so that's what we saw last week. Now, the case that I've heard is going to be made out tomorrow is kind of they gave the overarching theme last week of the federal approach to subvert the election. Now, tomorrow's hearing, this week, we're going to hear more about the ongoing attempt in the state legislatures. So bringing in the state legislative actors that were trying to subvert it on the ground in several different toss-up states, swing states, during the 2020 election, including Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. So what kind of Wisconsin ties, Matt, do you believe we're going to hear about in tomorrow's hearings?
Well, tomorrow might be Bob Spindell Day. I mean, Bob Spindell's on the Wisconsin Election Commission, if you can believe that. He was one of the false electors from Wisconsin. Remember, there were 10 Republican, diehard Republican activists in December who went into the Capitol and claimed to be the electors when they knew, in fact, that the legitimate electors were the Biden electors. And Bob Spindell was one of the 10. The head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin at the time was one of the 10. And so they are looking, the January 6th committee is looking at these false electors, not only in Wisconsin, but in the other close states. And they are going to show that there was a coordinated illegal attempt to get these to get electors in these states. It didn't just happen that Bob Spindell walked into the Capitol with nine of his buddies, including the head of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, decided to impersonate a real elector. I mean, they were instructed to do so by Eastman and other Trump folks, and by a lawyer who used to be at Foley and Lardner, who is in on some of this stuff, Cleta Mitchell. She was in on some of the false elector stuff. She also was on the conversation with Raffensperger down in Georgia. So it might be Cleta Mitchell Day tomorrow, too.
Yeah, Cleta Mitchell is definitely one of the names that I am going to be listening for tomorrow. But John Chesbro or Cheesebro, I forget exactly how he pronounces it. But he is a Wisconsinite as well and may have been kind of one of those nexus ties to John Eastman's scheme and the people on the ground here in Wisconsin. What do we think we're going to hear about Cheeseboro tomorrow?
Yeah, Cheeseboro's going to make an appearance, maybe a cameo, maybe more than that. There's another Wisconsin lawyer, Terpus, I think his name is, something like that anyway.
Jim Tropas, I believe.
Yeah, who may have a cameo role to play tomorrow. I'm also still outraged about the 14 Republican legislators who sent a letter to Pence on January 5th, of all days, not to certify the slate from Wisconsin. I don't know if they will make an appearance, but I'd like to see that. Janelle Branchen is one of those 15 legislators, and of course she's head of the Wisconsin Assembly Committee on Elections, unbelievable as that is. So, I mean, the big lie, the amazing thing to me is the big lie is still circulating despite all this evidence. You had Cleta Mitchell in Wisconsin just this week, and you had the RNC in Wisconsin. You had the Wisconsin Republican Party doing an election integrity tour where they kept repeating the big lie. I mean, the stuff just won't die. You can't put a stake through it.
I just don't know, like, I don't know what else to do other than to please just lock up the people that have committed crimes, especially the ones who said, you know that pardon thing? Even the backing away into by the way, all of my things are exhausted now.
Please give me that escape ticket. I need that golden parachute.
Is that pardon door still open? I want to knock on that door. I mean, that was hilarious to me. But I think despite the fact that the big lie keeps circulating here in Wisconsin, in Texas, they did crazy stuff over the weekend, too, saying that Trump won and Biden's illegitimate and all this other nonsense. The good news is that 60% of the American public think that Trump committed a crime. And so we're making some progress.
Yeah, and that's what's so important about having this hearing and having it in public and making sure that everybody at least has the opportunity to know it and then have it recycled and reiterated and, you know, talked about over and over and over again. We can't let this go because this is our opportunity to give everybody as much information as possible. And it seems to be, at least from what you're telling me, at least to be publicly starting to look at, oh, wow, this guy, this guy may have committed a crime.
And, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Watergate hearings and how Nixon fell from grace. And for a while there, you know, the Nixon diehard people were supporting him. And even more than that, there were, you know, the people who voted for Nixon in 68 and 72 were sticking by him. And then by the end, no one would admit they voted for Nixon. And I sure hope we get to that point with Trump. You know, I think the number of people who are going to believe that he committed crimes and should be prosecuted will just steadily increase. They've made an incredible case. Liz Cheney is a tremendous prosecutor of this case. And I think she makes the best presentation to the people who need to hear it because she can speak to Republicans and independents in a way maybe that Benny Thompson or Jamie Raskin can't. And I'm looking forward to Adam Kinzinger. I think he's up to bat tomorrow.
So now looking back at the, you know, you brought up Nixon, Watergate, that type of thing. And learning history, they tell us, you know, that he lost when he lost the Republican Party, when they said, hey, look, dude, you're done.
Once he found out the Republicans were going to impeach him and remove him, that's when he decided to resign.
But there's a tipping point there where they go and say there's no other way to look about it. And right now, they had to at least look at it, and they never considered not accepting reality, is what I'm saying. Like, and now the new play is, well, what we did wrong in that situation wasn't the crime that we did. What we did wrong was accepting the reality that we committed one. And for me, it feels different in that way because, like you said, it's a zombie that just won't die. They keep coming back.
It is different in that we have this authoritarian crowd that is saying the only thing that that went wrong was that Pence wimped out. I mean, that's what Steve Bannon is still saying to this very day. We heard the wimp word. We heard the P word, too, the other day in hearings, that's what Trump was calling Pence. And for the diehards like Roger Stone or Steve Bannon, you know, Pence should have just done the illegal thing and engineered the coup and you know, pulled the lever on the coup. You didn't really hear that much, maybe except for Roger Stone back in the Nixon days, people saying that kind of thing. Well, but there is this sense among the Trump cult and among the white nationalists, these are the two forces, and there's a lot of overlap there, who just won't give it up. And they really don't understand or respect or want a democracy.
But Matt, isn't this kind of a test of the entire experiment that Fox News and the conservative right-wing ecosystem for media has been doing since the Nixon days? Because Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch essentially wanted to prevent anything like Watergate from happening again in the fact that it would have to be a Republican president resigning in that, because that's what it came down to. They wanted an ecosystem where they told their listening audience the facts that they thought they wanted them to hear. And it seems like the only way that this didn't end with Trump resigning back in 2020 and the early days of 2021 before his term ended was because they thought that they could get away with it. And to me, it seems if there isn't accountability, if Merrick Garland Day isn't coming soon, that's the scary part of the story then, because they knew it was a crime. They knew that had Al Gore tried to do that exactly what they attempted to do in 2000, or if Kamala Harris wanted to try to do something like it in 2025, January 6, 2025, that Kamala Harris couldn't do it, but they wanted Mike Pence to do it. They knew it was a crime, but they thought he could get away with it still. And what do we do about that? How do we address, because 60% of public opinion isn't that tipping point. We need to convince more of the American public that they knew it was a crime and that they still tried to go forward with it anyways.
Yeah, so we still got to bring these facts to light. The January 6th committee is not done. Tomorrow's going to be big. The concluding section is going to be huge, I think. You know, Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell wimped out on January 7th. You know, they could have gone to Trump and say, you know, you're done here or we're going to vote for impeachment. But they didn't do that. And that's kind of why we're here. And you're absolutely right. Rupert Murdoch, Tucker Carlson, they've got a lot on their conscience right now, if they have a conscience, because they have been primarily responsible for the continuation of this big lie.
Yeah. And one of the other things I believe that's important about these hearings, Matt, is laying out who knew what when and sharing that information, because I believe that was the part of the tipping point in Watergate. I'm a younger gentleman myself, Matt.
You're hurting me.
I wasn't around in those days, but from reading history, the fact that Nixon, they found out that Nixon knew about the break-in and authorized the break-in, and finding out that the president at the time knew that the crime was being committed, finding out through the January 6th hearings that Trump knew that the crime was a crime and still went forward with it, is pretty damning information. And I think we can talk a little bit more here. We got a break coming up. But the fact that the Wisconsin Republicans sent that letter on January 5th after the lawyers for Trump told him on January 4th that it was a crime, I think is pretty damning as well, that the people in Wisconsin, the Republican actors in Wisconsin, knew potentially that it wasn't kosher either, and they still went forward with it. So, folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. We are joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about the January 6th hearing scheduled for tomorrow, as well as let's talk a little bit about an update with Gableman, because I missed some of that out last week as well. Taking your calls. We'll be right back.